Mission Academy at the regular board meeting. It's Friday, January the 21st, 2022 at 12:30. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under agenda item IE. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@sdmissionacademy.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. So, we will now open this meeting and we'll do a roll call so that we can establish a quorum. Cheryl Stanford, present. Claudette Beck, present. Mike Malloy,
present.
John Dorch,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand,
present.
So we have a quorum. We're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and we're going to ask Barbara to do it this time, if everyone else will put their phones on mute. Right, place your hand on your heart and repeat with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, beautiful as always. All right, so now we're in the staff introductions, and we're going to start with corporate officers.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Good afternoon, board. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
And Jerry Vincent.
Good afternoon, everyone. Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
All right. And then school staff.
Good afternoon. This is Lindsay Reed, Area Superintendent.
Kevin Ogden, I'm the liaison to our authorizer, Warner Unified.
And good afternoon. This is Jeff Martin, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right. School Legal Counsel.
Good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
And anyone else supporting? Any school staff or anyone supporting?
Good afternoon, this is Sarah Fagan Mayoral, Senior Director of Finance with LLAC.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, Counsel with LLAC.
All right, welcome to all of you. Is there anyone else? All right, we're good then. All right. So now we'll go to 1E, Adopt Resolution Continuing Board of Directors Authority to Hold Virtual or Teleconference Meetings Pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. And this is Jeff Martin now.
Thank you, President Stanford and board members. In your board package, you will find the resolution for continuing Board of Directors Authority to Hold Virtual or Teleconference Meetings Pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 was signed by Governor Newsom on September 16, 2021, and allows boards to continue to meet remotely as determined by majority vote during states of emergency, as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Are there any questions from the board?
No? Any questions from board members? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1E?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
So Mike Malloy has motioned. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1E has been approved unanimously. We're now on 1F, approve agenda for the January 21st, 22 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Has everyone read that? Are there any questions or discussion? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1F?
Donna Beck, I'll make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second. Claudette Beck has motioned. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 1G. Approved minutes of the December 3, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And I assume that you read these. Is there any questions or discussions or corrections? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1G?
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
Claudette Beck has motioned. Barbara Wilson has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Don George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1G has been approved unanimously. So now we're on consent items. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Consent agenda item A has one under it. The board will be asked to approve the school accountability report card. Any questions, or anyone want one of these tables or discussion on it? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve consent agenda item?
John
George has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So consent agenda items A through 1 have been approved unanimously. So now we're in public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide directions to staff, or reschedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone on the line from the public who would like to introduce yourself or make a comment? And if not, Shelley, has anyone contacted you?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you so much, Shelley. So now we're on 4, school reports and information. A, the mid-year report on the 2021-22 local control and accountability plan. This is Lindsay Reese.
Thank you. Section 124E of Assembly Bill 130 requires LEAs to present an update on the annual update to the 21-22 LCAP and budget overview for parents on or before February 28, 2022. At a regularly scheduled meeting of the governing board. At this meeting, the school must include all of the following: the supplement for the annual update to the 21-22 LCAP, all available mid-year outcome data related to metrics identified in the 21-22 LCAP, mid-year expenditure and implementation data on all actions identified in the 21-22 LCAP. An additional 15% concentration grant funding has been provided to increase staffing for direct service to students at schools with 55% or more pupils who are low-income English learner or foster youth. Please see the one-time supplement to the annual update to the 21-22 LCAP on pages 35 through 39 of your packet. When San Diego Mission Academy adopted our LCAP budget this past June, the State Budget Act was not yet complete. The adopted state budget included additional funds that were not anticipated by our district. The impact to our adopted budget overview for parents is as follows, and for your reference, this is on page 34. Total LCFF funds have decreased by $53,341 since initial board approval to make a new total of $1,992,960. LCFF supplemental and concentrator funds increased by $17,407 since board approval to make a new total of $358,203. And last, total budget expenditures are $2,357,880, which is a decrease of $120,744 from the original board approved budget. Next, I'm going to talk about the supplement for the annual update for the 21-22 LCAP. For reference, please see pages 35 through 39 in your packet. The supplement to the annual update for the 21-22 LCAP has 5 prompts that must be answered by LEAs. Number 1, a description of how and when the LEA engaged or plans to engage its educational partners on the use of funds provided through the Budget Act of 2021 that were not included in the 21-22 LCAP. A description of how the LEA used or plans to use the additional concentration grant add-on funding it received to increase the number of staff who provide direct services to students on school campuses with an enrollment of students who are low-income English learners and or foster youth that is greater than 55%. For items 3 and 4, since SBMA does not receive one-time federal funding, these requirements do not apply. And finally, the fifth element is a description of how the LEA is using their fiscal resources received for the 21-22 school year in a manner that is consistent with applicable plans and is aligned with the LEA's LCAP and annual updates. In summary, partners were given an overview of each funding amount, timeline, and description of services. San Diego Mission Academy utilized the additional 15%, which is $33,438, for English language learner support, intervention courses, social-emotional support for students identified in LCAP Goal 1, 2, and 4. The funds will be used to assist with credentialed instructional personnel, tutors, school counselor, and community liaison. This increase equals the amount of additional funds for the supplemental and concentration allotment. These funds are principally directed at meeting the identified needs of low-income English learner and foster youth students. Next, I'd like to give the board an update on our mid-year data report. This is located on pages 40 through 41 in your packet, and all available mid-year outcome data related to metrics identified in the 21-22 LCAP is as of LPs 1 through 5. For goal number 1, which is to increase academic progress, all metrics were met, and there was an increase in reading lexile averages, average credit completion, and English learner reclassification rates. For goal number 2, which is for students to gain college and career readiness, once again, all metrics were met, and there was an improvement in implementation of state academic standards and EL courses. Next slide. For goal number 3, which is to increase student retention, all metrics were met except the attendance rate was below 85%. I am happy to report, though, that the percentage rate for dropouts improved. And finally, for goal number 4, which is to increase stakeholder involvement, all metrics were met with this goal, and PAC-ELAC participation rate improved. Next, we're going to discuss the 21-22 LCAP Actions and Services Mid-Year Report, which can be found on pages 42 through 56 of your packet. I'm just going to provide a brief summary of highlights, but if you want to look at it in more depth, you can refer to your packet. For goal number 1, which again is to increase academic progress, all actions are in progress. Action 1, English language learner support staff, interventions, and materials. 1 part-time EL teacher and 1 newly hired EL paraprofessional. Action 2, intervention program and materials. And Action 4, counseling students towards graduation, shows spending of approximately $107,000 and $20,000 respectively. For goal number 2, which is again, students will gain skills for college and career readiness. Again, all actions are in progress and approximately $8,000 was spent on non-personnel for Action 1, career and college readiness for unduplicated students. And $17,000 for non-personnel on Action 3 technology upgrades for student programs. For goal number 3, which is to increase student retention, again, all actions are in progress. Action 1, student retention support, and Action 2, social-emotional support service, had personnel expenses of approximately $3,000 and $20,000 respectively. And finally, for goal number 4, to increase stakeholder involvement, all actions are in progress. Community outreach and activities to engage families show the highest expenditures of approximately $34,000 for personnel. Inclusion in the 22-23 LCAP. The 21-22 supplement is considered part of the 22-23 LCAP for the purpose of adoption, review, and approval, and must be included with the LCAP as follows. The 22-23 budget overview for parents, the 21-22 supplement, the 22-23 LCAP, the action tables for the 22-23 LCAP, and instructions for the LCAP template. The 21-22 supplement will be submitted with the LEA's 22-23 LCAP as part of the review and approval process. After the 21-22 supplement is part of, also, the 21-22 supplement is part of a point-in-time report to the governing board and the LEA, it will not be revised prior to being included in the 22-23 LCAP. Only the 21-22 supplement will be included. In closing, the continuing impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, including the challenges of hiring staff, implementing health and safety protocols, and addressing learning acceleration needs due to the impact of distance learning, have presented many challenges in the first half of the school year. Despite these challenges, San Diego Mission Academy is committed to implementing the LCAP to provide necessary services to our students. We acknowledge and sincerely thank the hard work and dedication of our employees, the support of our parents, and the resilience of our students to continue our mission. This concludes my presentation on the mid-year report for the 21-22 Local Control and Accountability Plan.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. I don't know how you keep all those 21, 22, 23 numbers going. They're all going in different directions. Good job. Thank you. Any comments from board members? All right. We just want to thank you for that. We appreciate so much what you're doing. These are crazy times. All right. So now we're going to go and open our public hearing. So I need a motion and a second to open our public hearing. Barbara Willebrand moves. So Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has second. And we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Nick Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's unanimous that we've opened our public hearing at 12:46. The public hearing is now open at 12:46. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this meeting. The board may extend this time of a majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Lindsay Reese.
Thank you again. Please refer to pages 58 through 62 in your board packet. For the 21-22 fiscal year, the sum of $547,513,000 was appropriated for allocation by the State Superintendent of Public Instruction to establish the A-G Completion Improvement Grant Program. We have not yet received a specific allocation amount for San Diego Mission Academy. The A-G Completion Improvement Grant Program was established to provide additional support to LEAs to help increase the number of California high school pupils, particularly unduplicated pupils, who graduate from high school with A-G eligibility. The A-G Completion Improvement Grant has three parts: the A-G Access Grant, the A-G Success Grant, and the A-G Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. The $300 million have been allocated for access grants. Funds will be appropriated in an equal amount for every unduplicated pupil enrolled in grades 9 through 12, inclusive as reported in the 2021 CalPAS follow-up submission. Funds will be allocated to LEAs having an overall A-G completion rate of less than 67%. LEAs shall receive a total allocation of not less than $75,000. These funds are available for expenditure and encumbrance through the 25-26 fiscal year. San Diego Mission Academy is not eligible for the Success Grant, as it would require the school to have an overall A-G completion rate of 67% or higher, which they do not currently have. The funds for the A-G Access Grant shall be used for activities that directly support pupil access to and successful completion of the A-G requirements. Eligible activities may include, but are not limited to, any of the following: providing teachers, administrators, and counselors with professional development, developing comprehensive advising plans and pupil supports, including tutoring programs, extending access to coursework or other opportunities to satisfy A-G course requirements to all pupils, including but not necessarily limited to unduplicated pupils. These opportunities may include, but shall not be limited to, course development, course review, incorporating A-G course requirements into the LEA's graduation requirements, and new and expanded partnerships with other secondary or post-secondary institutions. And finally, advanced placement or international baccalaureate fees for unduplicated pupils. Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. $147,513,000 has been allocated for Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. Funds will be appropriated in an equal amount for every unduplicated pupil enrolled in grades 9 through 12, as reported in the 2021 CalPAS follow-up submission. An LEA shall receive a total allocation of not less than $75,000, and the funds shall be expended in the 25-26 school year. A-G Learning Loss Mitigation Grants shall be used to allow pupils to receive a D, F, or fail in A-G approved courses in the spring semester of 2020 or the 2020-21 school year to retake those courses. The method of offering pupils the opportunity to retake courses shall be determined by the LEA. If sufficient funds are available after implementing course retake, an LEA may also use funds to offer credit recovery opportunities to all pupils to ensure pupils are ready to graduate high school on time. But as for plan requirements, grant recipient shall develop a plan on or before April 1st, 2022, describing how the funds received under this section will increase or improve services for unduplicated pupils to improve HRG eligibility, including information about the number of pupils identified for opportunities to retake classes. The plan shall include information regarding how to plan and describe services to supplement and do not supplant those services identified in the charter school's LTAP and learning recovery plan. The plan shall also include a description of the extent to which all pupils within the LEA will have access to A through G courses approved by the University of California. In order to ensure community and stakeholder input, the plan shall be discussed at a regularly scheduled meeting by the governing board and school district of the charter school and adopted at a subsequent regular meeting. Areas of focus will include providing access to pre-AP courses, expanding current AP coursework, funds to cover AP exams, professional development for teachers, administrators, and counselors to improve A through G completion rates and AP training, developing comprehensive advising plans and other supports, such as tutoring and course taking and college counseling services, providing AP resources and training, and providing access to AP computer course science options. The allocation schedule will be available approximately this month, although to my knowledge, we have not yet received it, and apportionment shall be released next month, February 2022. San Diego Mission Academy anticipates receiving the A through G Access Grant and A through G Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. All funds must be expended by June 20th, 2026. The school reserves the right to make refinements to the above plan due to organizational changes, goals, and or California state requirements based on student needs and changes to their LCAP. This concludes my presentation on the A through G Completion Improvement Grant Program. Are there any questions or input from the public or the board?
Thank you so much, Lindsay. Anyone have any questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Board Member George. Lindsay, I always like to come up with a question to show that I'm still awake or hopefully not too many. But what does the terminology in the grant plan mean by unduplicated student? What does that mean?
Great question. Thank you, Board Member George. I appreciate your question. So they refer to unduplicated students that fall into one of three categories. Low-income English learner, foster youth. And you can imagine that students could technically fall into all three of those categories in theory, but they only count them one time. So they take all of those characteristics in your students. If 55% of your student population meets one or more of those criteria, then that's what they're referring to for unduplicated pupils.
Got it. Thank you for the explanation.
Thank you for asking.
I didn't know that. Thank you for asking that. We hear it over and over. I'm not sure what I thought it was. All right. Any other comments from board? All right. The board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the A through G Completion Improvement Program Plan. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comments? Are there any members of the public who submitted written comments to the board? Shelley.
Hi, this is Shelley Sands here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments or have requested to speak.
All right, thank you so much. So now what I need is a motion and a second to close this public hearing.
Mike Maloney makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand seconds. Mike Maloney has motion. Barbara Willebrand has second. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Maloney?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it is unanimous that we are closing this public hearing at 12:54. We have a unanimous vote. All right. So now we are going into six action items. The board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2021 annual audit report for the school. And this is Araceli.
Thank you, Carol. I would like to inform the board that financial audits are required annually and must be submitted to the school's authorizer, state controller's office, and the California Department of Education. The audit reports required to be submitted by December 15th each year. However, for the 2021 fiscal year, the deadline was extended to January 31st, 2022. At this time, I would like to introduce Brian Hadley, Turner, Wilkinson, Hadley, and King to review the audit report, which is included in pages 64 to 103 of your package.
Thank you, Araceli, and good afternoon, members of the board. I would like to just provide kind of a brief overview of some of the highlights of the items that are included in the audited financial statements. And then at the end, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer that. On the screen, you can see page number one of the audit report, and that's the executive summary. And this is a new schedule that we were requested to include in the audit report by management. I think it's a very good idea, and we'll continue to include this schedule in future audit reports. This was written by management, and it just gives management the opportunity to tell you about some of the things that are happening at the school during the year. It gives you, to say the programs they're implementing or some of the challenges they're facing. But it gives what it does is it gives the financial statement reader some perspective in what is happening at the school. And so we'll continue to include this executive summary in future audit reports. If you turn the page to page number two, this is the independent auditor's report. And you know, this is what the page that your audit is all about. That's the purpose of the audit, is to see what the auditor's opinion on the financial statement was. And I'm happy to tell you that your school received an unmodified opinion, which means that I can say that the financial statements fairly present the financial position of the school at June 30, 2021. And there were no adjustments or changes that needed to be made to the accounting records in order to reflect that position. And so that's a very good, that's the auditor's opinion that you want to receive. And so I congratulate all the people who worked in the accounting department, the business department, and the attendance and all of the in all of the compliance sections, because there's a lot of information that goes into that audit, and to receive that opinion is an accomplishment. If you turn over to page four, this is the statement of financial position. That's what it's called for a nonprofit corporation, a nonprofit entity. You may look at that and say, well, that's a balance sheet, and that's correct. That's what it is. It's a balance sheet for another type of entity, but for a nonprofit corporation, it's called a statement of financial position. And this lists the assets and liabilities of the organization at June 30, 2021. And so it's a snapshot of the organization at the end of business on the last day of the fiscal year. And you can see, if you're looking at the assets, there's $185,000 worth of cash, and there's $455,000 worth of accounts receivable. The largest account receivable is about $396,000, and that's state aid that was just not received or was not paid by the state before the end of the fiscal year. If you look at the bottom of towards the bottom of that schedule, you'll see a line that says total net assets. And that is, the amount that the, in this situation, if the liabilities exceed the assets of the entity at June 30, 2021. You may have heard that referred to net assets. You may have heard that referred to in another type of organization as retained earnings or fund balance or reserve. That's what that number is. If you turn the page and go to the statement of activities, this, unlike the previous statement, the statement of activities shows the financial transactions for an entire year. So the other page showed it as of one day, what the assets and liabilities were. This shows the income and expenses for the entire 365 days ending June 30, 2021. I actually didn't calculate this, so I don't know what the percentage are. But obviously, your largest percentage of revenue. Your largest revenue item is the local control funding formula. And it has three main components, which are state aid, the education protection account portion of state aid, and then the property taxes. And so those three items total $1,258,000 of your total revenue of $1,512,000, if I just do that real quick. Yeah, and that's about 83% or 84% of your total revenue, 83% rounded of your revenue. So those are, that's your major source of revenue. I know that's not any surprise to you, but they're a very significant portion of your revenue. If you look at the next column that's highlighted, or the next highlighted section on the left hand side of the page, it's called expenses and losses. And there's two categories of expenses that are shown, the program service expense and the supporting service expense, which total $1,410,000. Those categories are required to be shown on the statement of activities by the AICPA, by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, on a statement of activities for a nonprofit organization. You can see that for the year, your change in net assets, and that is the revenue minus the expenses, was a positive $102,000. And so you had more revenue than you did expenses in 2021 by $102,000. Those program service expenses and the supporting service expenses are big groupings of expenditures. Many items make that up. But if you turn to the next page, page six, there's a statement called the Statement of Functional Expenses that provides additional detail as to what makes up those amounts. You can see that the program service expenses are in the left, the first column, and they represent expenditures that were for educational programs. You can see that the largest part of those expenses were for salaries and benefits, and then, of course, instruction. But the total educational programs expenditures was $1,246,000. Your supporting services expense, or the middle column, is what was spent on management and general expenses. And one thing that I'd like you to remember from this schedule that I think is important is the educational program expenses far exceed the management and general expenses. And that's what you would expect to see. That's what you would want to see in a nonprofit organization. And what that means is that the majority of your expenditures are being spent on the purpose of the organization. And they're not, spent on, other things, on management and general expenditures. And so that's a very good ratio or percentage to have of total expenses, where the educational program expenses far exceed the management and general expenses of the organization. And again, the right-hand column is just the total expenditures for the year were $1.4 million. If you turn the page to page number seven, this is kind of a difficult schedule to understand. It's called the Statement of Cash Flows. And what that schedule represents, or what that schedule shows, is it's just a reconciliation of the cash that was shown on last year's ending audited cash balance to this year's ending audited cash balance. And that schedule is calculated or it's calculated by looking at the change in each of the balance sheet accounts for the year and determining how the change in that account, how it affected cash, whether it was a source of cash or a use of cash. And so that schedule is a little confusing, but what is important of it, what is important about that schedule is in the middle, where it has cash and cash equivalents end of year, that line in the middle, that shows $185,030. That is the the reconciled cash balance at the end of the year, and you'll notice, you'll know that that agrees to the cash that's shown on the statement of financial position on page 4. And that's why that statement of cash flows is included in the audit report, just to reconcile the beginning cash to the ending cash. So that's why that schedule is included in the audit report. The remainder of the audit report, and you know, there's probably another 25 or so pages of the audit report, it provides additional detail and explanation about some of the numbers that we've already talked about. The state has some schedules that they require to be included in there. You know, there's a statement about the officers and directors of the organization, the organization structure. There's a schedule about the instructional time that, you know, doesn't usually apply because you're at independent study charter school. This year, because of COVID, there were some changes, but it's a required schedule by the California Department of Education. And so, you know, and then there, the footnotes go into explaining things that are listed on the statement of financial position. For example, you know, there'll be a footnote regarding cash. There's a footnote regarding accounts receivable. There's a footnote regarding accounts payable. And you can get more detail as you look at those. But you can get more detail if you want to looking at those numbers. And so what I'd like you to remember about this presentation is there's three things. One, and this is what I do when I always pick up it's the first thing I do when I pick up an entity's financial statements is I look at the auditor's opinion and I see what the opinion was. Because if it's not an unmodified opinion, then there's generally some problems with it. If it's an unmodified opinion, that means that the financial statements present the financial position as it is. And so that's good that you have an unmodified opinion. The second thing is I look to see if there are any current year findings. And there's a schedule towards the back of the audit report. It's on page 32 and 33 that show, yeah, you did not have any current year findings. There are no financial statement findings, and there are no state award findings. And the findings are things that need to be brought to the board's attention or to the attention of California Department of Education, where there was maybe something that we looked at that needed to be brought to their attention. There were no issues that related in us reporting a finding for either financial statement or state award findings in the current year financial statement. So that's the second thing to remember, is that there are no current year findings. And the third thing is that there were no findings from the prior year, and that's listed on page 34. There were no findings from the prior year that were not resolved, or that are hanging over from the prior year and not taken care of. And that's because there weren't any findings in the prior year. And so what I tried to do is I tried to just show you the four main schedules in the audit report and explain a little bit about the opinion. And I just tried to give you a little background on that. And if you have any additional questions, I'd be happy to go over those with you at this time.
Thank you so much, Brian. We appreciate that. Any questions or comments from the board?
Well, I have one little question. What does it mean when it says transfers property taxes?
That's just the title that the state gives it. It's that is property taxes that came to you or will be coming to you.
Okay.
That's just what the state calls it.
Okay, thank you.
I know. All right. Anybody else? Any more questions? All right. Well, thank you, Errol Sally, and thank you, Brian, so much for that. And we are learning as we go along. We really are. All right, so I need a motion and a second to approve 6A.
Rebecca, I'll make a motion to approve.
Mike Malloy will make the second.
So Claudette Beck has motioned and Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Wildman?
Aye.
So 6A has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 6B. The board will be asked to approve the auditing firm of Wilkinson, Hazard, King & Company, LLP, to prepare the school's 2020 Form 990, return of organizational exempt from income tax. And that is Araceli again.
Thank you, Karen. I would like to direct the board to the engagement letter from Wilkinson, Hazard & King to prepare the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021, federal return of organizations exempt from income tax form 990, its related statement and schedule, and as well as the California Expense Organization Annual Information Return Form 199 with its related statements and schedule. This firm is listed on the California Department of Education website as an approved auditor, and all information from the school's annual audit report can be downloaded into the Form 990, which reduces human error and expedites the process. The engagement letter included on page 105 and 106 details the overall 990 preparation process and the preparation fee. At this time, I would like to recommend the board to approve Wilkinson, Hadley, and King to prepare the school's 2020 tax returns.
All right. Thank you so much, Araceli. Any questions from the board for Araceli? All right. If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6B?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
Mike Malloy has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Did I say my name? Charles Stanford? Aye. Okay. So it's unanimous. It's unanimous. 6G is going to approve. I'm a little ahead of myself. Okay. So now we're on 7. Additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to obviously thank Lindsay and her staff for the reports, but I'd like to address the board. We're entering in a new year now. We're starting over again. We suffered through what's happened so far. Hopefully, there'll be light at the end of this tunnel. But I want to thank the board for all that you guys do, and you do it as volunteers. You're not required to come here. You have to give up family time. You've got to make exceptions to attend these meetings, to oversee these meetings. And I'm very, very happy to be able to work with you and see you continue what you're doing on behalf of these students. It's so important and so important to us. So thank you, guys. It's just a wonderful thing you're doing. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I echo Mr. Brown's sentiment. Specifically, I agree with the things that he mentioned. And I'd also like to add a special thank you to Araceli for her contribution. Thank you, Araceli. You are very valuable as an expert advisor. And Mr. Brian Headley, thank you for your contribution and your patience in going through those very important main audit points and the specifics. Appreciate you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, board. All right. So I'm thinking that this is Carol Stanford. I'm thinking our next time we have Brian, we're going to come up with a vocabulary list and have him go through it with us. We're actually learning a lot of stuff right now. We really are. And some of it we take for granted. So we're learning. It's a good thing. Thank you, Brian. Any other board members have comments?
I just wanted to thank everyone that has been a part of this meeting because, you know, everything is, you know, we learn so much from everyone, and you guys do such a great job. I just can't imagine anyone else doing it besides you guys because you're wonderful. I just don't know what else to say.
It's from beginning to end. We have support staff. It's
Shelley and everybody else that's helping us. I mean, we do not know where we were at. All the way up to Lindsay, who is guiding the ship. And then Jeff and Jerry are out there motioning her in. So anyway, thank you.
President Stanford, I would also, this is Jerry Vincent, and I'd also like to spotlight the people behind the scenes that make these meetings, these virtual meetings happen seamlessly. They're so talented and committed. We have to shout out to Charter Affairs, Charter Relations, Mr. Martineau. Thank you, sir, Deanna, all of you behind the scenes. Couldn't do it without you. Thanks.
Deanna's, I don't know how these agendas are. Who puts the agenda together? Is that Deanna?
Well, we do. You know, she puts them all, she formats them for us, but certainly, you as a board president, Lindsay as school leadership, and, you know, put the items together. But yeah, Deanna puts them in this beautiful form. She and her team, Lauren, Vanessa, all of the people behind the scenes, Shelley, working tirelessly to make sure that your items of importance, state requirements, federal requirements, Lindsay's requirements, officers' requirements are addressed and formatted well. So,
and we really appreciate that.
Yes.
Well, all right. Thank you. Anybody else has a comment? If not, let's go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, your board. I'd just like to comment on the importance of continuing the virtual meetings, at least in the interim period while the COVID virus is surging. Four of my seven family members tested positive for the Omicron virus last week, and fortunately, they're all my cases. But I think it points out to me, it hits home the importance of maybe continuing these virtual meetings, at least in the interim period.
Right. We have our calendar till June, so we don't know, but there's a good chance that we'll be doing
some. Hopefully, that'll cover it.
Yeah. So, Barbara, there's your answer. All right. So, we're going to go to 8A. Next regular board meeting date is February 7th at 10:40. And I need a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
But Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Mike Malloy.
Okay. So, Claudette Beck has motion. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford. Aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John George.
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
So our meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. We will see you.
Thank you.